Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Extreme Scale Log Analyzer. Today's presenters are Robert Outlaw and Srini Vadlamudi. Robert is the WebSphere Extreme Scale L2 Support Team Lead and has been supporting the WebSphere Extreme Scale product for 4 years. Srini is currently part of the WebSphere Extended Deployment L2 Support Team and prior to this role, spent 5 years supporting WebSphere Process Server. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Srini.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcast on WebSphere Extreme Scale Log Analyzer. As David introduced, I have with me my teammate and team lead, Robert Outlaw. We both work in WebSphere Extreme Scale Level 2 support team.
Thanks, everyone, for joining the conference. This is Robert.
Moving to slide 2. Here is the brief agenda for today's webcast. What is WebSphere Extreme Scale Log Analyzer? What are its main features? How do we invoke it? Couple of advantages in using this particular tool. And we have quite a few screen captures that Robert will describe in detail that shows the dashboard views from the reports that get generated by running the tool. Couple of pointers on how to troubleshoot the tool in case there are any issues running this particular tool. Moving to slide 3. Extreme Scale Log Analyzer, it creates a dashboard of views illustrating a timeline of events across multiple containers and also the catalog servers. It is particularly helpful against a complex extreme scale environment where we have many logs that spanned over many directories belonging to containers and catalog servers. We collect all the sets of logs into a particular directory and then we run this tool against that directory, providing it as a source. It presents a table summarizing the org settings. This is particularly helpful in comparing the org properties because this aids in making sure the configuration is properly done. And Robert will go over this particular table presenting some real-world scenarios. We can scroll through a timeline which shows events that happened over a course of time. Like if we take, like say, a 12-hour window, there are many events that get captured in the logs, and these are presented in a nice illustration in these reports, which is tough to grasp if we are trying to use an editor and analyzing these logs. And lastly, we can extend this particular tool. Many customers might have their own logging mechanisms where they would be writing some verbose logging using their own implementation. So in that instance, they would be using their own error messages, which might be not known to this particular tool. So you can use regular expressions to catch those custom messages. So that's where this tool has flexibility in allowing custom error-catching mechanism.
Right. This is Robert. I just want to interject in before we move on to the next slide, just some background information on the log analyzer. This tool was created for internal usage among the support teams and development teams here at IBM for Extreme Scale. And what we found was that it was very easy to get information from customers in very large volumes because of the size of extreme scale deployments. So the log analyzer, you know, from a top-down level, and you can see it from these points, is all about taking a large amount of diagnostic information, of raw diagnostic information, logs from your servers, and collating it in such a way that you can perform much faster analysis than you could, you know, simply, you know, opening up a log after log, rolling through FFDCs, and, you know, comparing, you know, OR properties files. Like, that's a very, you know, daunting task, and it was very, very difficult for our customers and for our software support, you know, software service teams to get a grasp on the problems because there was just so much volume to go for. And that's where the log analyzer kind of fits in with our, as a product feature now in 7.1.1 to kind of fill that gap to allow self-diagnosis in the field for advanced customers. We don't expect that, you know, smaller deployments would, you know, be super needful of this, but it's still useful for them.
Thanks, Robert.
Yeah.
Moving on to slide 4. This is how we invoke this particular tool. Any administrator in charge of extreme scale environment, they would gather all the logs contained in all these servers and collect them in particular directory. And this is a simple invocation command as given here. We just invoke the tool providing the log root and then the directory that has all the logs. That's it. And running the above command shouldn't take long enough, depending on the size of the logs, and it produces a directory containing a report and many of the referenced files, all these HTML files which are internally referenced. But there is a index.html that we just invoked within any browser. The supported browsers are Firefox and Internet Explorer. So the report gets generated in this particular directory.
That's right. Just a quick note. This is Robert. I have not had very good success using Google Chrome with the Extreme Scale Log Analyzer output. I have not done a lot of diagnostic, you know, effort into figuring out why Chrome doesn't, you know, want to render our pages like Firefox does. But it is very important to stick with the reference browsers when using the tool. Another thing that I wanted to mention is that we don't have a requirement to gather all the logs in the extreme scale environment to run this tool. So if you just have partial collection, that'll work too. We get better the more we've got, but you don't have to, you know, gather everything and put it in if that's going to, you know, be a tiresome, taxing effort. You do have the option of using, you know, just some logs from the environment.
Right. Moving to the next slide, slide 5. This is more of reiterating the advantages and the features of Log Analyzer, where it charts the log events per server process, gives a high-level information of the environment, providing more of like a version info, what this environment is about, shows you the critical incidents in a high-level server summary. So the warnings are properly colored using a legend like a warning sign, like exclamation mark. Now we move on to the next set of slides, which are more in-depth, and they are the crux of this presentation, where we show multiple report views that get generated in the report directory. So at this time, I transition over to Robert, who actually takes us through this dashboard views.
Thanks, Srini.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and advance to slide 6. I'm just going, the next set of slides, I'll be presenting just some of the sample output that you will get. Again, to load the output from a run of this tool, you will access the index HTML that is generated in the directory that's referred to in the output of the tool. When you run the tool from the command line, when it is done running, it will present to you a path on the file system where the report was generated. So you'll simply go in and run the open up the index HTML and get to some of the screens in this tool. Let's move on to slide number 7. So the first tool that we have is our topology view. And here what we've done is we've parsed the logs, of course, that were provided, and we've used the information there in order to assemble an extreme scale topology that you are running based off of this log set. For example, here we have three hosts. One is running a catalog server, CS1, on the right, and then we have two container servers, 942.100.212 and 942.95.131. Each of these hosts, is hosting two container servers. So what we have right here is a grid with one catalog server and four container servers. This is very typical of a development style implementation. If you're kicking the tires, you should be pretty familiar seeing something like this, maybe even with less container servers, just as you're doing testing of a simple grid application. Note that we also include the names of the defined grids in the environment and the defined maps in the environment. Now, this is important because you can actually see the arrows coming from the map set pointing to each of the containers. So what's occurred based off of this view is I can see that I have two physical servers running extreme scale containers, one physical server running a catalog server, a map set, and then on that map set, placement has occurred in this environment, and I have data from my grid on each of these four container servers based off of the arrows pointing down from that map set. So we can kind of, using this information, get a high-level overview of what the topology looked like over the time period in which the data was collected. Now, I want to make sure people understand that we can only interpret what's in the logs. If you have been running these logs for a long time in a production environment, and we've had grids created, grids destroyed, we may have had a large number of placement changes, shards, being destroyed, container servers being torn down, and over time, this output from this topology, as logs roll over, can be less than correct. So as your logs drift from where you're at, then so can this view. But we've attempted to, capture just a simple topology view for you to click on load and understand where has placement occurred, how many hosts do I have, what are their host names, just so you can kind of get at first glance, what does this topology look like? So it's important to keep that in mind. It's also important to understand that if you need to know exactly at a given fixed point in time what your topology looks like, this really isn't the tool for it. You need to be looking into XSCMD on version 7.1.1, extreme scale 2 or higher, and look at some of the you need to be looking at that tool and some of its commands and outputs to be able to look at placement data, map sizes, containers running in your environment instead of using the log analyzer. The log analyzer is really best used for problem determination and debugging of an event that has already elapsed, not for real-time or not semi-real-time, as in I'll take some captures and look at the topology view. Yeah, you can do that, but you know using XSCMD is a much better option in that regard. Let's move on to slide number 8. So the best feature and the most critical feature, I think, of the log analyzer here is the timeline. And what we've done is executed our log parser such that we go through the logs and pull out all the warning messages and error messages that we see in the log files. And then we mark those, when they occurred and in what frequency they occurred along a timeline. So you can kind of, peel out a log, say like you just want to do a weekly check of the log, see how things are going. You know, your grid's fine, everything's running okay, but, it's always good to, see how things look. This is a great example of where the log analyzer, excels at. Whereas previously your options were limited to, running XFCMD, using the XML command, getting, raw dump data, or parsing, manually parsing logs via cron jobs or anything like that. Like, these are very, 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 almost caveman-like approaches to doing this. Whereas the log analyzer, gives an administrator something that they can work with on a regular basis to get an idea of the health of their container, see what errors are occurring, because ExtremeCell is always going to have warnings. It's always going to be issuing, something's always going to be kind of going up, but that doesn't necessarily mean that these errors are harmful. They may be, more along the lines of informational style warnings and notifications rather than true error conditions that need responses to. So by using the timeline, you can find out when did these warnings occur, what kind of warnings happened, and what kind of action I need to take. And you can see that we've included both the timestamp of when an error occurred, the process on which it occurred, so you can know, is it occurring on one of your catalog servers, one of your container clones, where is this error happening, the message, and the explanation for that message, and any action that you might want to take in response to these errors. And some of these things, you just get used to seeing after a while administering an ExtremeCell environment, and you know that this is not a serious problem, or this is something that I did not expect and I need to, be considerate of. For example, a catalog server having connectivity problems at some point and generating some errors. That is something you probably want to take a look into. Maybe it's just an issue of, a network brownout or something, but maybe there's something more going on. Like, here in the log analyzer, you would catch that. So this is probably one of the two most important outputs that you can look at. It just gives you a really, really good overview of the frequency of errors and when those errors are occurring in your environment, and allows you to kind of focus in on where the problems are occurring and what you can do to make any corrective action if you need to. Let's move on to slide number 9. So, for each of the servers, we also have, details about the kind of errors that they've hit. Here is just an example. The critical message scanner is just essentially something that parses our system out logs. We look for warnings and error messages, and we count, how many incidents they are and how severe they are. I've never gotten the overall severity to have anything but a exclamation mark in my, testing. Generally, something is going to cause a warning. So this area of the tool is not quite super duper useful, but at the same time, you can still get some good information about the process, version information, what kind of server is failing, and additional environment information about where the server's running and placed. Move on to slide 10. These are all, by the way, different tabs that you kind of go to. When you bring up the index.html, you'll be presented with four tabs on the left, and you'll be able to click through them and view each of these individual pages. So here is the event timeline view. This is another one of the tabs you can work out of. You can kind of see how warnings appear in your environment going forward through time in a pretty easily recognizable way. You'll see critical messages occur and more critical messages occur. This is especially useful when dealing with events such as container failures. You might see shard placement changes or other kind of errors. When those happen, you can actually see ExtremeScale, you know, compensate and try to recover from that as the grid is, you know, reliable and isn't intended to do. So as you might see errors coming out of the container servers, they'll show up here. Catalog servers will also, you know, show messages. And you can kind of get an idea if you have an event that causes disruption, you can always bring up the event timeline view here to try to, you know, track back what's going on across different processes. And you can see how a view like this is, you know, something that is a great first thing to look through instead of your other option, which you had before, of let's open a catalog server log, look at this time frame, see if I can't see anything. Okay, looks like a container had some trouble. Let's move over to the container server, open up the log at that time frame, see what kind of problems we had there. Okay, well, we saw that the shard got, its primary got lost because this container went down. Now let's see where the backup shard was promoted, and you can kind of, you're jumping from log to log to log to log. You don't have that with a timeline. You can kind of get a succinct, you know, one image feel of what happened over the event to kind of orient yourself for doing additional problem determination in your environment. You can also, of course, use it to see if there aren't just errors that you can start searching the internet for and searching our website, our support website for, to see if there aren't any known issues that are occurring in your environment, since we do pull the message IDs out. Let's go to slide number 11. Now here's one that this is a big deal. And it doesn't seem like it's a big deal, but it really is. So with 7.1.1, we have started in the actual system outs, and if you look at the system out logs, you'll see this, printing orb properties at the start of the log files. Here in the log analyzer, we also have added a new tab in order to bring up your object request broker properties and get a view as to what they're set for and configured as. We have had in support over the years a large number of problems where orb tuning was something that had to be looked at. We've had a large number of issues where inconsistency in orb properties caused issues, especially when new servers were added and the changes that were existing on the old servers weren't propagated to the new ones. A good case in point is, say I have a grid, it's been running fine for 6 months. I'm going to ramp up capacity because I want more users on this grid because it's just been so awesome. So I'm going to add all these new servers. And I add these new servers, and all of a sudden I am seeing some very, very odd behavior. I'm seeing some outages and just not what I would expect, you know, with a scalable grid. And it's because, you know, you didn't set the orb properties to match the timeout values, the max connection values that we recommend. So in their info center now, we actually have a list of recommended orb property values. We make sure to note the way that these orb properties need to be set for standalone containers versus WebSphere managed containers. And we also have in the actual output of the log, we actually print out the orb properties at the top of the log. And we were doing that for our own sake, mostly just for diagnostic reasons, because it was so difficult to actually peel that information out of a configuration. So we were like, okay, we'll just put some system outs here and look at them in the logs. But now we have a log analyzer, which can also capture this information. So this is just a consistency check tool. This is very important. And if you're having things like timeouts, no response errors, like Corba no response errors, target not available exceptions, all these things, like giving the orb properties page here a click and a look through is very, very, very worth your time. Let's move on to slide number 12. So one of the things about the log analyzer is that it is extensible. We understand that, you know, information that is interesting for some customers will not be interesting for other customers. We understand that customers will extend the diagnostic output of their servers, especially their WAS managed container servers. We have had customers, you know, run WAS managed container servers and then actually run Heartbeat apps inside those container servers and, you know, produce output. We have seen this kind of, you know, behavior. And so what we've done is we made sure that the tool is extensible so that customers can filter what's relevant to them and what's not relevant to them. Some customers may have continual HA manager, you know, issues in their environment that don't affect, that have proven to not affect extreme scale. In that case, you know, you may want to, you know, prevent using our regular expression syntax those errors from actually being recorded and triggered in the timeline and recorded as errors. If you have custom logging output, you can add that. You know, say you're using some kind of, you know, intermittent Heartbeat tool on top of everything that we supply and over DCS with extreme scale. That's your prerogative. If you want that, that's cool. That's fine. And you can add the that output, that regular expression into this, and we'll watch and look for it, too, in our log analyzer. So we've kind of have a very simple config file. It's very self-explanatory. You'll be able to go through and, you know, edit and config the log analyzer to capture just the information that you want or extend the information filtering such that you can capture events that that we don't currently see and support. Let's move on to slide 13. And I'll turn this back over to Srini to cover some of the simple troubleshooting issues with the tool.
Thanks, Robert. That was very explanatory about the dashboard views. By default, this tool, Log Analyzer, runs within a JVM, and it has a default max memory size of 256 meg. At times, depending on the size of the logs that it has to parse to create these reports, it's quite usual to run into an out-of-memory situation where it prints out this particular message. So the simple fix is to increase the XMX value, the max memory for the JVM, to preferably 2 gig, 2048 MB, and then run this particular tool. And in our test environments, we haven't seen any failures running against large set of logs. And in the event, even after tweaking it to 2 gig, should you run into any out-of-memory situations, there is another argument which actually takes the maximum number of records within the logs to parse for the report generation with a dash max records argument passed to the tool. So we thought we would give this troubleshooting tip to you.
Right. A couple things I want to note here is that you will need to edit the script, the batch file on Windows or the shell script on Unix to manually insert the XMX argument. You do have to do that. If you look at the command lines in the script, the arguments that are passed, you know, at the command line level will be appended to the end, and will not take otherwise. So there does have to be an editing, I think, of the scripts in order to add that XMX heap size value. The other thing is, of course, the tool itself does have, you know, on some of the panes, some drop down information in order to kind of filter what you're looking at, like the time frame. So you're not necessarily looking at the entire time frame. You may be looking at just a day or just an hour. That is available, but the max record parameter, again, is more along the lines of limiting the overall size of the input so that the tool doesn't you know, take forever to run in your environment.
That's right. Moving on to slide 14, Robert touched upon this. Like, you can specify a start timestamp and also an end timestamp so that you can take a limited window within which you want to generate a report. It's almost like just looking at the last 100 lines with the tail script, tail-100, and then it only shows 100, or you can look at the head or the tail. So similar concept where you can filter with a start time, end time, rather than go through like a big log. So this is another troubleshooting tip. We would like to give it to you. Moving on to slide 15. This is just a high-level summary of today's presentation. We explain what is WebSphere Extreme Scale Log Analyzer, what are its main features, how does it run, how to invoke this particular tool, and Robert summarized all the dashboard views as to what those reports consist of. And we definitely see a lot of value in this particular tool, and we would like all of you to use this particular utility in analyzing your logs.
Yes, and we'd also always like to hear feedback from how the tool is being used and how it can be improved. 7-1-1 was the first time we kind of documented it in our info center and distributed it to our customers. And we are very keen on some of our customers' pain in self-diagnosing extreme scale problems in production environments or large QA environments. We feel this tool is kind of a linchpin of where we want to start moving forward and making that better for you. So we really want you to get a hold of this tool, start using it, and give us some feedback over what we can add to this tool that will be useful. And we really see a combination of the log analyzer and the command line interface working together to really help allow customers and IBM service to diagnose and troubleshoot problems in their extreme scale environments without needing to resort to level 2 every time something goes wrong.
Thanks, Robert. At this time, I hand it over to David with additional information on our WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcast and also some additional resources about our support.
Okay. Thank you, Robert and Srini, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject of WSTE subscribe to get a list of mailing lists and to subscribe. Also, if there is a topic that you'd like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this point, Catherine, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have no questions at this time.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you, and we appreciate your participation. We hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Robert and Srini, for presenting today.
Thank you. Our pleasure.